الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وسندنا وشفيعنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وليعفوا وليصفحوا ألا تحبون أن يغفر الله لكم والله غفور رحيم. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Honorable ulama, respected hufaz, beloved brothers and elders. In the world today, when we look around, there are problems that are not only facing the Muslim ummah, but every single human being is going through some difficulty or the other. When we ponder over the solution for these problems, then the Quran, the hadith cannot be void of any solution. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Inna likulli da'in dawa'an." For every problem there's a solution, and this is our belief. Like for every disease and sickness there's a cure, and for every problem and difficulty there's a solution. One problem we find that people on a very large scale, it has affected everyone by and large. And worst it becomes when it afflicts the Muslim Ummah, when that Muslim Ummah who Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thought and expected and desired that they live as one Muslim brotherhood, they live with unity irrespective of whatever place and whatever race you come from. But this very same ummah, when there are problems and people aren't seeing each other eye to eye, then definitely this becomes something that hurts the Mubarak heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what's the solution? How do we bring an end to all this? Great thinkers of the past, great buzurganideen, senior awliya, as well as looking at the Mubarak ahadith and the teachings of Quran, they bring before us one very important aspect. Something which has been repeated in so many places of Quran. Something which has been repeated in the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not only said verbally, but practiced physically, demonstrated practically before us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us. And he mentions in one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَوَلَا أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ مَكَارِمِ الْأَخْلَاقِ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. We all want good character. And when any person adopts good character, then ulama-i-kiram mention that your stay on this earth will be known as heaven on earth. You'll be living on earth, but you'll be as though living in Jannat because the character has been perfected. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, let me tell you the gist of good character. If you want to know what's good character, every one of us want to acquire it, we want to receive it and describe ourselves with it, put it into our lives. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, let me tell you the gist. It consists of three things. Number one, sil man qata'ak. The one who severs ties with you, you go out of your way to join ties with him. Number two, wa'fu amman zalamak. Forgive the one who's done wrong to you. Number three, wa ahsin ila man asa'a ilayk. The one who is being rude, who's ridiculing you, who's running you down, who's being bad to you, you be good to him. You hold on to these three aspects. You fulfilling the gist of good character. These three will come in every other aspect of good character will come into you as well. In the Quran Kareem, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala speaks about those who are successful, who will be attaining Jannah. One of their main qualities is وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. They always find it within them to forgive others. Now remember, respected elders and friends, one person mentioned so beautifully, it's impossible that you come into earth and you do not get hurt. It's impossible. You come onto earth and you don't get hurt. It's obvious. from the time of the child's birth, that child comes into the world crying, teaching us that this world, indicating from the very beginning, that you're going to come in the world and someone or the other is going to hurt you. We shouldn't be hurting others. But once you walk in, once you live here, as long as you're staying here, someone or the other is going to hurt you. Whether it's verbal, whether it's emotional, mental, physical, whatever it is, you're going to be hurt. That's inevitable. But what's within our control is, how are we going to respond to that hurt? If we're going to respond correctly, then we receive the promises of Quran and the promises of Hadith. But when we respond incorrectly, then there's a whole host of wrong that's going to come to us. Let us ponder for a moment that there can be two responses. One response is, this person hurt me, so I'll do everything to hurt him, as long as I'm alive. And not only while I'm alive, I'll make a note of it, and I'll make a record that people who come after me, the generations to come, my children, my grandchildren, many, many nations, whoever they are, you all must remember, this person, he wronged us a very long time ago. So don't forget the wrong that he did. We can hold a grudge against him, and we can say, because he hurt me, I'll do everything to hurt him. And the other way is to say, if this person hurt me, he may have been wrong, he may have been mistaken, let me find it in my heart to forgive him. Let me find it in my heart and make a way to forgive this person. And both these attitudes, whichever one you adopt, we must always remember that anything you do, the effect of the founder must run into the action that you are doing. Whoever founded something, whether it be an action, whether it be an institute, whether it be a way, a religion, the effect of the founder has to play up in that, whatever it is. So who's the founder of this attitude? The one who says, this man hurt me, so I'll leave no stone unturned to hurt him, and to run him down, and to ridicule him, and to make sure that he suffers misery in his life. Who's the founder? The founder for this is, in the words of Quran, no one other than Shaitan. When Shaitan was thrown out of Jannah because of Adam alayhi salam, he said, لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ. Because this man was the cause for me losing my position in the heavens. So I will do everything to harm him. He held that grudge from that day. Allah says, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوًا إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوًا فَتَخِذُهُ عَدُوًا. Shaitan has severe enmity for you. So understand that he got nothing but enmity in his heart for you. So that enmity he held, that grudge he held from that day. And now when we are going to adopt the very same approach to people who hurt us, then our founder, our leader, our imam is no one other than Shaitan. And if you follow Shaitan, you follow his way, you follow the path that he has laid out, that he has paved, what can come to us besides misery? Shaitan fell into misery. He wants to improve and increase his number of people. So the only thing that will come to you is misery. A person said very beautifully, when you hold a grudge, holding a grudge is like what? Is like drinking poison but expecting the other person to die. You drinking the poison, you're going to get affected. You holding the grudge, you holding the malice and the envy, that person's not going to suffer. Your life is going to become a misery. In this world, things will become difficult. In the akhirah, things will become difficult. On the contrary, the founder, the person who overlooked, who forgave, in our eyes, would be Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When we would follow that example, then wallah, in this world, there'll be barakat. In this world, there'll be so much of joy and happiness. Leave alone the akhirah. The akhirah, there'll be so much. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, what's the prescription? ثَلَاثٌ مَنْ كُنَّ فِيهِ حَاسَبَهُ اللَّهُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا وَأَدْخَلَهُ اللَّهُ الْجَنَّةَ بِرَحْمَتِهِ. The prescription to have an easy reckoning when our eyes close. When we'll go into the qabr and our eyes close, when we'll stand before Allah on the day of Qiyamah, we all want an easy reckoning. We want that green light, that easy passage, and we want entry into Jannah. That's the dream of every one of us. May Allah allow us to pass those stages easily. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if you want these two, then there's three actions you go to carry out. Whoever has these three, Allah will make his reckoning easy and Allah will enter him into Jannah with absolute ease. What are these three? تُعْتِي مَنْ حَرَمَكْ. The one who doesn't give you, you make sure you give him. وَتَسِلُ مَنْ قَطَعَكْ. The one who severs ties with you, you join ties with him. وَتَعْفُوا عَمَّنْ ظَلَمَكَ. And the one who does wrong to you, you find it in your heart to forgive him, then your pathway to Jannah is easy. Even in this world, Allah will give you absolute contentment. Because when you're going to sleep, you got no grudge, you're forgiving the person. Allah Ta'ala will make your life easy. Because the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, وَمَا Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions, any person, the hadith is lengthy, مَا نَقَصَتْ صَدَقَةٌ مِّن مَالٍ وَمَا تَوَاضَى أَحَدٌ لِلَّهِ إِلَّا رَفَعُهُ اللَّهِ. And the person who forgives, any person who forgives someone, who overlooks the next person, then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam promises that there's nothing but honor and respect that will increase. مَا زَادَ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا بِعَفٍ إِلَّا عِزَّةٍ. When you're going to forgive the next person, Allah will ensure your name is elevated. You are respected. You may think, your logic may tell you, if I'm going to forgive him, I'm going to look like the weaker party. But you will forgive him in the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah will increase your honor. There are so many examples of this in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One is what we read in Quran, one is what we read in the hadith, and one is the practical demonstration that we see in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at one stage there was a man, Labid bin A'sam. They explained regarding him, Rajulun min Bani Zuraiq, Haliful Yahud wa kana munafiqan. A man from the Banu Zuraiq tribe. He was an associate of the Jews and he exposed himself as a munafiq. He used to come in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he was the one responsible for putting some jadu and black magic on Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was affected for that time frame. He was affected. Then Allah revealed the ayat of Quran, what we know as the Mu'awwadhatain, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, 11 verses. And when these 11 verses were revealed, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was relieved from that jadu and that black magic that was placed over him. Then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was informed via wahi the exact details of the person who did it, Labid bin A'sam. And what was the response of the man who hurt Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam so much? Aisha radiallahu anha told him, أَفَلَا تَنَشَّرْتَ هَذَا? Why don't you expose this to people? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's response, أَمَّا اللَّهُ فَقَدْ شَفَانِي. Allah has relieved me. Allah has cured me entirely. وَإِنِّي أَكْرَهُ أَنْ أُثِيرَ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِّنَ النَّاسِ شَرًّا. I don't want to now be spreading evil regarding any person who's around here. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam forgave the person entirely. On the occasion of Khaybar, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam conquers Khaybar in the 7th year Hijri. He's invited, he's given a da'wah, an invitation. As he seats himself down, he's about to eat. Some sahaba were also seated there, and immediately the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, irfa'u aydiyakum, raise your hands, move your hands away from the food and don't consume even one morsel. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam looks at the morsel and he calls the woman who prepared the meat. She was a Jewess, she prepared the meat, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam immediately asks her, أَسَّمَمْتِ هَذِهِ شَاتْ, have you put poison in this meat? Immediately she asks, مَنْ أَخْبَرَكَ, who told you? How do you know this poison in the meat? So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أَخْبَرَتْنِي هَذَا اللَّحْمُ الَّذِي فِي يَدِي, this meat in my hand has spoken to me that don't eat me because I got poison. I got poison inside me. He asked her, why did you place, imagine this is attempted murder. Attempted murder. Why did you put this poison? She says, I put it as a test. I wanted to know whether you were really a Nabi or are you an imposter. If you are a Nabi, Allah will inform you and you won't partake of the meat. But if you are not a Nabi, then we'll be relieved from you. What was the response of the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He took no action against her. He knew exactly what she did, the wrong she did. She confessed, but he forgave her and sent her away. But Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu says, the effect, the little effect of that poison that made its way into the system of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I saw this right till the end of the life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right till the end of his life, he suffered with that little poison that made its way. But he found the heart to forgive that person. A famous kafir by the name of Habbar bin Aswad. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam moved to Madinah Munawwara, he made hijrat. Then after the battle of Badr was fought and the Muslims were victorious, it was a major slap in the face to the kuffar. It was a defeat that they never expected. And Hazrat Zainab, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's daughter, she hadn't migrated as yet. After the battle of Badr, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam felt it's not safe for her to be in Makkah. He wanted her to come to Medina Munawwara. So one day she leaves. She's on her way to Medina, and the leaders of the Quraysh, they look and they see, this is the daughter of the leader of that army who defeated us. How can we let her leave Makkah with so much of honor? We can't let her do this. So they all went out to stop her, and there was this man by the name of Habbar bin Aswad. He comes up and he attacks her camel. He pokes her camel, because of which the camel jolted. She was seated and she fell off that height. She falls down onto the ground. The hadith says, كَانَتْ حَامِلًا. She was expecting, she had a child in her womb. فَأَسْقَتَتْ. Because of that fall that she suffered a miscarriage. She suffered a miscarriage. This is the grandchild of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Eventually, she's taken back, and after some days, she reaches Medina Munawwara, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is informed of the entire incident. He issues a command, إِن لَقِيتُمْ حَبَّارًا هَذَا فَأَحْرِقُوهُ بِالنَّارِ ثُمَّ قَالْ فَاقْتُلُوهُ فَإِنَّهُ لَا يُعَذِّبُ بِالنَّارِ إِلَّا رَبُّ النَّارِ. If any of you come into contact and meet this man Habbar, then kill him. Kill him, because he was responsible for murder here. He's guilty of a crime. This man's name was, so to say, on the list of people who were meant to be executed. He wasn't executed on the list of people who were supposed to be executed. He was, so to say, on the hit list. Habbar was very worried, and he disappeared. People couldn't find him. No one met him. Until the time came, this was the second year Hijri, the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, at the eighth year Hijri. After the conquest of Makkah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is at a place called Ji'irrana. And Jubair bin Mut'im, radiallahu anhu, he narrates the incident. He says, I was there with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then from one place, we notice someone coming towards Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When we look closely, after 6 years, Habbar's face met with our face. After 6 years, we see Habbar is coming towards Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And people mention, Ya Rasulullah, Habbar is coming. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, I've taken notice. And his name was still on that list to be executed. So Sahaba stood up to mark, to kill him, to execute him. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam signaled to them, sit down. They all sat down. Habbar comes before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was the man, remember, responsible for hurting his daughter, for killing his grandchild. He comes there and he says, Assalamu alayka ya Rasulullah. I make the greeting of Islam to you. And he says, let me narrate to you before anything happens. Let me tell you my story. He says, قَدْ هَرَبْتُ مِنْكَ فِي الْبِلَادِ. I ran away. I escaped. I did every effort to run away, because I saw there is no way for me to run, because I knew my name was on the death list, on that hit list. وَأَرَبْتُ اللُّحُوقَ بِالْعَاجِمِ. I saw that you are conquering land by land. You are conquering the land of the Arabs. Until now you've even conquered Makkah Mukarramah. I thought, let me go into the non-Arab lands. Maybe it'll be easier. ثُمَّ ذَكَرْتُ فَضْلَكَ وَصَفْحَكَ وَعَائِدَتَكَ وَصَفْحَكَ عَمَّنْ جَهِلَ عَلَيْكَ. Then I call to mind the different instances during these 6 years, and even before that, of people who were caught in front of you, who did wrong to you, but the way you forgave them, the way you forgave and you overlooked them. So Ya Rasulullah, فَاسْفَحْ عَنْ جَهْلِي وَعَمَّا كَانَ يَبُلُّغُكَ مِنِّي فَإِنِّي مُقِرٌّ بِسُوءِ فِعْلِي وَمُعْتَرِفٌ بِذَنْبِي. O Rasulullah, please forgive my wrong. Forgive me for the wrong I did. I confess. I've made a mistake. I've hurt your daughter. I've been responsible for the killing of your grandchild. But now I've come clear. Please forgive me for the wrong that I have done. And then he says, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam looks at him and he says, قَدْ عَفَوْتُ عَنْكَ. I've forgiven you entirely. Imagine, can we imagine forgiveness to this level? وَقَدْ أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ حَيْثُ هَدَاكَ إِلَى الْإِسْلَامِ. Allah has done good to you. Allah has been so kind to you by guiding you and bringing you into Islam. وَالْإِسْلَامُ يَجُبُّ مَا قَبْلَهُ. Islam wipes out every wrong that was done before it. You can live as a Muslim. No one will interfere with you. This was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Sahaba ikram radiyallahu anhum, Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu, he says, on the day of Qiyamah, there'll be some people. Day of Qiyamah, people will be claiming their rights from each other. You did this wrong, you did that wrong. There'll be an announcement from Allah Ta'ala's side. Who has something to claim from Allah Ta'ala? Which of you today have something to claim from Allah Himself? So, فَيَقُومُ أَهْلُ الصَّبْرِ فَيَقُومُ أَهْلُ الْعَفْوِ. The people who were very forgiving in this world, they will be inspired to stand up because they will be as though being owed something by Allah Ta'ala Himself. فَيُكَافِيهِمُ اللَّهُ بِمَا كَانَ مِنْ عَفْوِهِمْ عَلَى النَّاسِ Allah will reward them because they were so forgiving in this world. Allah will give them a special reward on that day. They'll be made to stand up and enter Jannah so easily. Hazrat Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, on one occasion, he goes to the marketplace. He intends buying something. As he sits down to make the payment, he realizes the money that he brought is stolen. Someone stole the money. So he excuses himself, and the person selling the item, the people who are around him, immediately they start cursing and saying, Allahumma qta' yada hadha sariq. Oh Allah, cut the hand of the sariq. Allahumma f'al bihi kaza wa kaza. Oh Allah, do this to him and do this to him. How could he steal the money of Abdullah bin Mas'ud? Abdullah bin Mas'ud, the sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he raises his hands in dua and he says, Allahumma, Allahumma in kana hamalahu ala hadha hajatun fabarik lahu fiha. Oh Allah, if this man stole my money because he's desperately in need, then my dua for him is, put barakat in the wealth that he stole. وَإِنْ كَانَ حَمَلَهُ عَلَىٰ هَذَا جَرَاءَةٌ عَلَىٰ الذَّنْبِ فَاجْعَلْهُ آخِرَ ذُنُوبِهِ Oh Allah, if he stole this money to go and commit some guna, then oh Allah, let this be the last guna he ever commits in his life. Look at the response of Abdullah bin Mas'ud. Only people who have this quality of forgiving can think and can speak words like this. Hazrat Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah was suffering with extreme pain and difficulty. And he had to go undergo some operation at the latter part of his life because of the torture he was put through. During the earlier part he was blamed incorrectly for something. And the king, Mu'tasim, had instructed people to whip him and lash him severely. And at the end of his life, he had to undergo some operation without anesthetic. He was going through a lot of pain. But throughout all that, he was saying, Allahumma ghfir lil mu'tasim. Allahumma ghfir lil mu'tasim. Oh Allah, forgive mu'tasim. Forgive this king mu'tasim for the wrong he did. People told him, this is not a time to make dua. This is a time to curse. You're supposed to be cursing this man because he hurt you so much. He said, I also thought about what you said. But then I thought of the lineage of mu'tasim. This king mu'tasim, when you check his lineage goes up to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I don't want to come on the day of Qiyamah with a complaint against any family member of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Shafi rahimullah says so beautifully, مَنْ نَالَ مِنِّي بِشَيْءٍ وَعَلِقْتُ بِذِمَّتِهِ سَامَحْتُهُ لِلَّهِ رَاجِيَ مِنَّتِهِ كَيْلَا أُعَوِّقَ مُسْلِمًا يَوْمَ الْجَزَائِ وَلَا أَسُوءَ مُحَمَّدًا فِي أُمَّتِهِ Anyone who did anything wrong to me, anyone who's owing me anything, I forgive him only for the sake of Allah. So that on the day of Qiyamah, I have no complaint against any Muslim, against any ummati, and so that I don't bring the slightest hurt to the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That this is what your ummah was engaged in. Respected elders and friends, let's make a niyyah today. Let's make a firm resolve today. Every one of us, as we said in the beginning, it's impossible to come onto earth and not be hurt. Someone's going to hurt you, but let us find it in our heart that we can forgive that person. Our lives in this world will become joyous. Allah will only increase our izzat and our honor. And in the akhirat, Allah Ta'ala will reward us immensely. Whoever has done any wrong, let's not hold on to it. Forgive it for the sake of Allah and see how Allah will open the ways for us. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.